Yes, Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for the wonderful privilege accorded us to speak your name. The wonderful privilege to be part of your family. You have sought out every single detail of our lives. There is not a part of our lives that is hidden from your view. There is not a thing happening in, with, around us that catches you unattentive, unawares. You are the faithful God. Knows every detail of our lives. And you're working out every detail day in, day out for our benefit. Turning things around for our benefit. For your mercy. Your truth is gracing our lives with favor. We thank you, Father, for your presence here, even now. Thank you for the things that you will teach us tonight. For the things, oh God, that are going to work in us and through us all the days of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the tweak here and the tweak there that's making us more daily like you. We thank you, Father, for this. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you all this evening. I got here later than usual because just landed in the airport. Few minutes ago, dropped our bags and headed straight here. In fact, I started my vehicle to get it warm because I didn't know what I was going to meet in the air. So that when I get to the car, it will be warm enough. But thank God, warm weather is here. God is good. Amen. All right. We're studying through the book of Proverbs, and we've been doing this now for, I guess, 2 years. I don't doubt that it might take us 4 years, and we have not really gone as deep as we could go. This is a book that every believer needs to read. And if you can read it, because there's 31 Proverbs, if you can read it every month, that'll be a very good thing to do. Because there's so much in it. At the halfway point, there is so much that God is saying to us. And may I say to the young people, it's good that you are studying it now. You're going to save yourself a lot of pain and anguish of heart. You know, now and then I think, oh, I wish I knew that. I wouldn't have made that mistake. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have done that. I wish I knew this. I would have made this kind of a decision. Well, early start is a good thing. So Proverbs 16, we ended in verse 4 last week, so we'll take it up from there with this caveat. It says, the Lord had made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Now, when we think about that, we think God created evil people for an evil day. But the idea that God is communicating to us here is this, that he is taking care of every detail in your life, and he will even use the wicked on an evil day when something bad is happening. He will use even the wicked to help you get out of that mess. And I think I closed out by sharing a story of a lady, an elderly lady, a black lady, real life story, that was going through some difficult time, and she didn't have the finances to go to a grocery store, and she was praying and believing God for a miracle, crying out to God. And an atheist guy who didn't believe in God overheard her praying and goes, buys all the groceries that he could lay his hands on, brought it, put it in her doorstep, rang the doorbell, ran behind some brushes, and the lady comes out and begins to praise God for all these groceries as she was looking at them. Oh, thank God. God, you answered my prayers. And here comes this guy from behind the bushes and says, God didn't answer no prayer. I bought those groceries. And she lifted up her hands and said, thank God, even uses the devil. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, that's the idea here. God will supply every need. And it doesn't matter who it is that he uses, he's going to use somebody, even the wicked. See, Pharaoh and the Egyptians were mean and hard on the Jews, but when God wanted them out of Egypt, they were the ones that supplied all the resources. They paid for all those years that the Israelites were out there working without pay or meager pay. God makes sure that he settles you and he settles me. You can be rest assured of that. You know, sometimes you may not experience it yourself, but your children's children, because of whatever it is that you've gone through, will receive benefits. The Word of God says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. Now, we may only think about it from the perspective of, oh, a good man, a righteous man has all these resources, so he's able to leave an inheritance for the children. But not just that. The inheritance is in all of the benefits that flows through in the blessing so that your children don't have to struggle like you're struggling. There are benefits, things that are going to happen for them, and things will fall in the right places for them. That's part of the inheritance. When Abraham blessed Ishmael and Isaac, he gave Ishmael stuff. The Bible doesn't tell us that he gave Isaac any property or whatever. He blessed him. He just blessed him. That blessing is more than what amount of dollars somebody can put in your hand. If I had a choice between an impartation of the blessing and $1 million, I would choose the blessing. The blessing of the Lord. The Bible says it maketh rich and no sorrow added. It maketh rich. Praise the Lord. So even the wicked, he's made for the evil day. when things are rough, it is not only the righteous that will be a blessing to you. Even the wicked, you can expect to be a blessing to you. God honors you when you please him. Bible says the Lord had made all things for himself. Everything, all things he made for himself. For what reason? To be a blessing. To be a blessing. Say, Pastor, what are you saying to us this evening? I'm saying, don't look around and expect evil. Expect good to fall towards you. Not just from good people, but also from bad people. People that are mean. You know, didn't he teach us in the Gospel of Luke about the wicked judge that had no respect for man or God? And how that woman was crying out to God, or basically crying out to him. And the passage starts out, you know, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he goes on and says, even if God tarries with them, won't he respond speedily? There is a fullness of time. So, look at life this way. I have no enemies that will destroy me. In fact, in this particular passage, the Word of God is going to tell us that when the ways of a man pleases God, he even makes his enemies, makes them to do right by him. Amen? Now, verse 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. God abhors pride. He hates it. If you sense pride, divorce it right away. And pride is not just something that you come up with yourself. Sometimes it is what people bring to you and make you feel like. I was having a private discussion with the Lord not too long ago, actually. And I was talking to him about certain things and saying, I can handle this, I can handle that. You've taught me, you've brought me through this and blah, 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 blah. And no matter what happens, this is what is going to be. And then he asked me this question and I did not have a response to it. So I had to basically cry out to God, help. He says, if I give you all this and people put you in a pedestal, and, oh, pastor this, oh, this man of God this, and so on and so forth, how long will it take you to begin to believe their accolades and then trip? I stopped for a while and I thought, I don't think I would, but this is how it happens. This is how it happens. You may not be proud and arrogant yourself, but people can put you in a place that make you feel that you're all that. And before you know it, you've become an abomination to the Lord. So I said, Lord, help me. Help me to know where things are at different levels, so that I know at all times that it's all you and not me. And I think it was the next day, I got a call from somebody that I've not been in contact with for maybe a decade and a half. We've not talked. Very dear man of God. Just called me out of the blue. And I said, who is this? And mentioned, I said, what? I can't believe this. I was just thinking about you maybe 2 months ago. I've not talked to this guy. And yeah, he was. He said, you know what? About 2 months ago, I was thinking about you too. And blah, 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 blah. And so we started talking and tells me different things. And says, man of God, I want you to pray with me before we disconnect. So I started praying with him. And he starts making all these noises. And so finished praying. And, you know, I was just very casual, but fervent in faith. He says, man of God, I felt the presence of God like never before. I'm an apostle, but I'm coming under your apostleship. Oh, the anointing of God. Oh, my God. Oh, you're so anointed. Oh, he's going off. And I'm saying, oh, that's that thing. That's that. Now you're going to feel so important. I'm so anointed. Hush up. You know, the devil can just come in there and just mess you up. It was not intentional. He was feeling what he was feeling, and thank God the anointing flowed. But that had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with me. It wasn't like I was praying some, pop, in the name of Jesus. And then he says, Lord, you know my brother, what's happening with him. I ask, oh God, that you just touch him now. Minister grace to him. And the guy is just going, what's going on with this guy? And he starts saying whatever it was that he was saying. But we have to be very careful with this thing called pride. God hates it. God hates it. Now, pride is not just you've been puffed up. Pride is also false humility. When God says something about you, and you don't accept what God said, and you believe in the lies of the enemy, you're operating in pride. Because, you know, God says, I forgive you. And you're walking around, oh God, I'm such a terrible person. You're walking in pride. You're walking in pride. God hates that. What humility is you coming into agreement with what God says. That's what humility is. If God says you're a sinner, you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. God says you're righteous, you say, yes, Lord, I'm righteous. God says, you're forgiven. He says, yes, I'm forgiven. God says, I'm going to deal with you because of this. And you can cry out, you're right, but Lord, have mercy. Is that not what Cain did? Yeah? Cried out to God. That's humility. Coming into agreement with what God says, especially with his character. That's humility. Competing with God, challenging God's word, that's the spirit of pride, and God hates it. And he says, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Now, that means you can all agree together about whatever it is you want to agree about, But if it's not in line with what I said, your goose is cooked. Because it's not about your majority. One with God is majority. And God is saying, it doesn't matter who plans against you, who is working against you. He says, they are not going to go unpunished. They're going to be addressed. You may be going through a rough time right now because of whatever it is that is said or they're doing, but I want you to know I've got your back. Amen? What does that mean to me? It means be at peace and rest. Relax. You know, somebody's busy laughing and talking over there. Pride says, they must be talking about me. How do you know that? Are you the beginning and the end of everything? Well, if they were even talking about you, God's got your back. And he will fight for you. So relax, rest. It says, vengeance belongs to me. Yeah? But you want to avenge yourself. I gotta protect myself. Now, it is not that God doesn't want you to protect yourself. It is how you protect yourself that matters. If you're relying on your own ability, relying on how you're going to maneuver yourself through this and through that without God, then you've got issues. God didn't say go check your mind somewhere and don't be thoughtful and don't think. That's not what it's talking about. Obviously, give your mind to use. Foolishness is God says something to you and you go against what God said because you are in faith. You know what that is? Pride. The God who told you, get out of Bethlehem, head down to Egypt. And you're saying, no, I'm not going to do that. This is a child of God inside this womb that is just born. And God is going to protect his child. Well, he's trying to protect his child by sending you to Egypt. He knew about protecting the child in Bethlehem. But he still said, go to Egypt. Go to Egypt. That's humility. You stay in Bethlehem, he's dead. You got yourself into that mess because you're not listening and you're not attentive to the will and the directives of God. That's pride. Like when I was in India and having a mass crusade and God was moving mightily, and then one of the days, he says to me, leave town, don't go to the crusade ground today. I said, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to go into town. Go into the villages. I have things for you to do there. But don't you go to that ground today. I said, why? He said, because the Hindus are coming there to kill you. Don't go. So I didn't. My host was very upset with me. He said, miracles are happening. People are coming to hear you minister the word of God and see miracles happening all over the place. And you're telling me that you're not going to be there in the grounds today because God said? I said, yes. He said, who is going to be preaching then? I said, I don't know. Maybe you are preaching. But it's not me. So what do you want to do? I said, give me a vehicle. Give me somebody and send me into the country. God says there are people waiting for me. You know what? I went into the country from 10 to about 4 o'clock in the evening. I think I did about 3-4 churches. Now, this church started at 10 o'clock, and God was busy speaking to people, and they were waiting for this man of God that is coming that they've never met. And I'll go to this church, and I minister there, leave an offering, and go to the next one, and leave an offering, and go to the next one, and leave an offering, and completed my meetings there. And while I was there, oh my, did the devil want to kill me? I was as sick as you can get. Until it was time to minister, and I'm feeling just perfectly okay. And as soon as I finish, there again. When those crusades were finished, I don't think I've told this story. Or maybe I said it a long time ago, I don't remember. I'm in the back of this van. I'm so sick. We're heading to a city called Hyderabad. I'm on the back of this van, laying down there, stretched out. And God opens my eyes. And I'm in this field, and as far as the eyes can see, there were demons, demonic forces, principalities, all around me. All around me. And I say, I'm fighting. Until we go to Hyderabad. Close my eyes, I see this demonic. I'm fighting, doing all kinds of moves in this realm of the spirit, beheading all kinds of things, seeing all kinds of weird creatures. That's when I knew, when I got back to Canada, and I was watching science fiction, that's when I knew that these people from Hollywood, they are not ordinary people. A lot of the creatures I saw that I fought with was on television. They were right on television, in these science fiction movies. I said, I know that one. I caught his head. You can imagine how weird these creatures were, but guess what? Why am I telling you this story? It had nothing to do. I have no capacity to fight off all of those billions of demonic spirits. You won't come and say, well, I fasted. You fasted, that's why. Give your head a shake. It is only by the mercies of God that you can make it. You know one scripture verse. Preach one little sermon and all of a sudden you think you're all that. You've not met the forces of darkness that will use you to sweep the ground. Some little peewee heaven demon can take you off. It takes the power of God, the mercies of God, the grace of God working in you and through you for you to be able to break forth and to live life. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, pray, do that, fast. Do that. Study the Word of God. Do that. Do all of those things. But don't place your faith on all of those things that you do. Because all of those things are meant to bring you closer in relationship with God, not to make you feel puffed up that you are this and I'm a prayer warrior. You're a prayer warrior what? I'm an apostle, so? I'm a bishop, so what? Your title does not bind the forces of darkness. I hope we're getting it. So rest, God hates pride. So you don't want God to be against you. Now, this next verse is important. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Mercy and truth. Not just mercy, not just truth, but both. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Patterns are purged out of your life by experiencing the mercy of God, but also acknowledging the truth. You know, faith is not denial. If you messed up on the inside, saying that you're not messed up does not make it so. You've got to, first of all, acknowledge, I'm messed up. You cannot become righteous without, first of all, saying, God, I'm a sinner that needs mercy. Positive thinking is not going to fix that. Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you've not departed from evil. Who are you fooling? Exactly, who are you fooling? You've got to be true to yourself and true before God and ask for mercy. Remember those two guys, the self-righteous guy and the sinner in the temple? One is in the back crying out for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the other one is saying, hey, I'm this big shot, I'm this guy, I'm not like that guy over there. So who do you think got out of that place fine with God? The one that's busy talking about all the good stuff he's done and how amazing he is? Or the one that's back there saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He acknowledged the fact that he was a sinner, but also acknowledged that he needed mercy. Meanwhile, the one who's supposedly all together was the one that was the big mess. God wants you and I to be surrendered to his lordship by crying out for mercy. Be true to yourself. You're struggling. I'm struggling with this aspect of my life. I need the grace of God. So the word of God says that it's a good thing to confess our sins one to the other so that we can be cleansed. Why is that important? Because some things need to be addressed from the position of humility. It's not the person that you confess it to that's going to do anything, but the very fact that you came and acknowledged before somebody that there's an issue. Guess God to say, for you to take ownership to that tells me that you're humbling yourself. You know, our Catholic brothers have certain things that they've done right. The man of God or the woman of God is not there to condemn you. He's there to bring healing. So when we confess, we get healed. You know, some people cannot get healed because they've not acknowledged a particular area of their lives where they are messing up. So the word of God says, if there's anyone sick amongst you, let him seek the elders and then pray for him. And if there's any sin issue, they'll be forgiven. That's mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Mercy doesn't always mean clearance without consequence. Sometimes mercy has judgment attached to it. So, incarceration sometimes can be an act of mercy. Because if that person is running around, left to do whatever it is that they are doing, the way they are doing it, they might have a bigger problem. They may generate a bigger problem. So mercy can be, you know, this guy is always drinking. And he always wants to go jump inside the car and start driving. Mercy seizes his keys, takes his keys, and is busy looking for it. Where are my keys? Where are my keys? Who took my keys? And you help him in helping him look for his keys while you have the keys. That's mercy. That's mercy. It doesn't look like mercy, but it's sure mercy because you are saving him from something. Mercy. He says, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And by the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God, men depart from evil. When people do not step away from evil acts and they practice it, they do not have a reverence for God. Reverence for God causes you to step away from that which is contrary. You have the fear of the Lord. You don't shack up. You know what shacking up is? Is that too old a language? Well, God loves us. Someday we're going to get married. But we don't have the money right now. Okay. You don't have the money right now, so you're shacking up. Okay. We're trying to cut down costs. So we are living together so that we can pay the rent. We're sharing bills. Really? Is that really what's going on? What about the appearance of evil? What role does that play? The appearance of evil. Is somebody else looking at you, not knowing exactly all the fine details of that situation, and now is doing the same thing, following your pathway, and they fall into a disastrous situation because you can't believe God? Why don't you cut your coat according to your size? Oh, I'm trying to help them out. It's good. No, nothing wrong with helping them out. But how is that appearance of evil, that manifestation of evil, causing you to be different? When you have the fear of the Lord, when you have reverence and honor and respect for God, you depart from evil. It's just the way it is. Oh, but this and oh, that. You know what? We all need to be serious about our walk of faith. We take our walk seriously. And recognize not everything that seems legitimate is right. It is legal to smoke marijuana. So all over the place there's marijuana. But is it right for you? But it's legal. And you can help yourself and say, well, it's a herb. It's a herb. God created this herb. Yeah. You can talk yourself into a lot of nonsense. Maybe I'm stepping on somebody's toes, I don't know. But people generate all kinds of foolish thought patterns that become iniquity. A lot of people find themselves in bondages because of the practices that they embrace. And God wants us to have certain things. You know, God, show to me what you don't want in my life. Ultimately, evil is anything that causes you to dishonor God. The simplest definition I can give to you. Anything that causes you to dishonor God is evil. So the love of money is evil. When the love of money causes you to dishonor God. Now, think about that. How is money causing me to dishonor God? Money itself is not bad. So I ask myself, how is this causing me to dishonor God? In which ways am I dishonoring God here? And God says, he will show you. And then he says, depart from handling it that way and handle it properly. Amen? Handle it properly. You know, the word of God says, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar and go to God what belongs to God. Now, he doesn't say, don't give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give everything to God. So not giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar becomes evil. And giving to Caesar without giving to God is evil. So evil is birth in the crucible of imbalance. When you don't balance things, you are percolating evil. You're creating an atmosphere that will cause you to dishonor God. And God wants me to honor him. God wants me to honor him. You cannot say you're honoring God and dishonoring your father. You cannot say that you're loving God without loving your neighbor. Not loving my neighbor is evil because it dishonors God. It dishonors God's word. Not standing and helping people dishonors God. So he tells us about, and we'll wrap up here. He tells us about the story of the Good Samaritan. We have two religious guys. They come by. One comes by, looks at him, and continues on his journey. He's not dead, goes on. The other one doesn't even come close, just in case he's dead. I don't want to touch him. And he goes on. But here comes the Good Samaritan. He stops, tends to him, takes care of him, takes him to an inn, pays his bills, and says, if there's any more that needs to be paid, when I come back, I'll take care of it. Those two religious guys, they may have their logical, religious, mystical, ritualistic reasons for whatever it is that they did. But in the sight of God, that's evil. And so he talks about the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan that supposedly is not good enough. He's the one who does the right thing. So what is departing from evil? If evil is doing that which dishonors God, then departing from evil is departing from everything that dishonors God. Departing from everything that dishonors God. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that is going to be very heavy. Do you think, now I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm about to say, but rather hear it with the eyes of faith, with the hearing of faith, and say to yourself, as I say to myself, you know what? I need to change this, my thinking about this, and come to a higher level. So let me ask this question. Does poverty honor God? Huh? No. Does sickness and disease honor God? Then, if that doesn't honor God, then I must not feed into anything that gives strength to that. Okay? So laziness, slothfulness, indiscipline, all of those things will bring about poverty. Now, poverty can be a spiritual thing, but there are practical things that we do or don't do. Indecisiveness that will bring about poverty, that will bring about lack. Abuse of my resources, not managing or taking care of what I have properly, can tend to poverty. The Bible says that there's that which that holds back too much, more than they should, and that will tend to poverty. So not giving would tend to poverty. So therefore, if poverty, I cannot say that poverty honors God, then whatever will generate poverty, I must separate myself from. That makes sense? If my health is going to be compromised, well, I know that you can, if you believe in God, even if you eat poison, it will not hurt you. Yeah? So I can believe, you know, I can eat whatever it is I want to eat and blah, 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 blah. And it is well with me. Okay. But the Word of God still talks about gluttony. Yeah? And that's not good. That can bring about ill health. So whatever it is that's going to cause me to be unhealthy, I need to separate myself from. Because ultimately, the end result of that is not going to honor God. Now, there are things that can happen to people that they had nothing to do with. You know, a child is born and has cancer. The child didn't bring about that. We know that doesn't honor God, so we need to believe God for their healing. But if you're walking around, you know, doing everything that will cause you to have ill health, and you're not praying, you're not believing, you don't have a relationship with God, who's killing you? So these are real things that we need to think about and make godly decisions. Amen? So the man who has a fear and a reverence for God departs from evil. You honor God, you depart from evil. You make right decisions. And so we'll wrap up tonight by saying, God, help me to make the right decisions on a daily basis, that I do not compromise the integrity of your word. I choose the right things. I am not lazy and slothful and indisciplined. Because the reality is, every day that is complete is a day that ultimately is part of your lifespan. So today, I did nothing. I wasn't a blessing. I didn't think thoughts that are pleasant, whatever. And the whole day comes and goes. I slept through it. I didn't impact anybody and whatever. It's a wasted day. If I have many of those, before you know it, it's a wasted month. Then a wasted year. Then a wasted decade. And 20, 30 years from now, I'm thinking, what have I done with my life? Nothing. But I lived these 30 years. Yes, you lived the 30 years thinking nothing, doing nothing, helping nobody. You wasted it. And you give an account for those days. I must be a blessing. I must contribute something into people's lives today. My life must count. Because my life counting honors God. And therefore I'll depart from anything that will cause me not to honor God with my life, with my day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence and for your power. We thank you for this wonderful privilege of just meditating on your word and just experiencing you. We want our lives to count. Our days to count. We want our lives to be meaningful. We choose you, Lord. We do not run away from you, we run closer to you. And when your word exposes us and touches core areas of our personality and our person, and we go, ouch, 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 because your word is poking at particular areas. We do not run away from you. We come and we say, Lord, have mercy. Thank you for truth. Purge me of this iniquity. Let the patterns of unrighteousness not formulate in my life. I choose you. I choose to honor you. May we be men and women that are honorable, committed, dedicated, fervent in faith. Men, O God, and women, Father, that live accountable lives because you've given us the ability to respond. We receive that ability to respond to life issues by the anointing. Thank you, Father, that we're forgiven. And having been forgiven, we do not make a practice of sin, but we elect and choose to live honorable lives. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And we look, O God, forward to all the wonderful opportunities that you have for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for being here tonight, and look forward to seeing you on Friday for prayer meeting. and on Sunday for another wonderful time together. And well, this is what they call the month of love, Valentine month. So may God's love cover every one of us. And may we cherish each other and be a blessing one to the other. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, to those that on YouTube and Facebook, read it. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday. But if you like to join us on our prayer meetings on Friday, then you'll have to join us through Zoom. And